Isn't it interesting? The Holy Spirit will always tell you the truth about yourself. And that's one of the reasons people don't want to come and hear the truth. I hear excuses all the time from people say, well, you know, I just can't sit still for that long for a Bible study. And at that, I have sat and watched a football game three times as long as our Bible study. And you sat there and didn't once get up and go to the bathroom. And so it's not about that. It's about something else. Sometimes people don't want to hear the truth because they, well, you know, I'm one of those guys that doesn't like to go to doctors because I'm afraid what they're going to tell me. Isn't that silly? That's so silly because you need to know what's going on in there, especially if it's something that can be fixed. The Holy Spirit will always tell you the truth about yourself. I just love this interchange. I love that Paul hits the dirt. I love that God knew the perfect guy to send to talk to somebody who was full of themselves. He sent a guy that used to be full of himself. I love, you know, I fully expect to see this man in heaven. I fully expect that, you know, after he has this whole temporarily blind thing and he humbles himself, what happens when you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord? What happened to Saul of Tarsus? God changed his life and God lifted him up. And I think that's why God sent Paul. I think that's why God sent Paul after he changed his name. Otherwise, you know what it would have been? It would have been like Lord of the Rings with the head bad wizard duking it out with the head good wizard and just doing the whole fireball thing. What a waste of time. Is anybody else getting this? This is just really kind of a thrilling interchange to me because I just look at this and I think, who but God? Okay, why are you saying all this, Bob? Have you noticed, has God sent you to talk to somebody that after you talk with them, you realize, I used to be exactly like them? Has that happened? Have you found, maybe it's somebody you're related to. I was talking on Sunday to somebody after the church, and they said, you know, we just figured something out with somebody in our family that is just a royal pain, and we're praying and praying and praying, and it just dawned on us, we used to be exactly like that. That's why it's bugging us so much. And I said, well, then you should have great hope, because look at you now. How did you get from there to here? Well, God changed you. Okay, well, then doesn't that mean that he could change this person that is exactly like you used to be like? That's not a coincidence, folks. I don't think that's a coincidence that you find yourself wind up butting heads with somebody that's exactly the way you used to be before Jesus changed you. You can have a very effective input in their life. Remember, when Paul says you're going to be blind for a while, it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Amplified Bible says filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit. So this isn't Paul's idea. This isn't Paul's judgment. This is God saying, okay, we know it works with guys like you, the whole temporary blindness thing. It really works really well, so let's do that. Let's just show, well, let's say, oh, enlightened one. Let's say, oh, requested one. Let's just have you meet the real Jesus. I love it. And the overflow of this interchange is that the proconsul winds up being a believer. Note that it was not because of the miracle. It says, verse 12 and a half, he believed because he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord, or deeply touched, the Amplified Bible says. It was astonishing, it was amazing. And it touched him deeply. Can you see the spiritual battle that was at stake? I see this happening all around me. I see it happening with good kids that grew up in Christian homes. I see it happening with people who slowly have been starving themselves to death spiritually, and then the predator comes in and they find themselves doing stuff you wouldn't ever have dreamed they would do. And it didn't happen overnight. They've just been drifting farther and farther and farther and farther away. And you see the battle that's going on. God tugging from one side and the enemy tugging from the other side. Was it important for Barnabas and Paul to drop what they were doing and go to this place and meet these people? I think so. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So the proconsul believes, he's another guy, I'd be interested in talking to him and find out how many people came to know Jesus because of his conversion, because he's a Roman. So now we find ourselves at Pisidian Antioch. We find ourselves starting Paul's speech, and I've got 10 more minutes. I just want to make a couple of comments about the very first thing that Paul says. I had you underline verse 17, the God of the people of Israel chose our fathers. In fact, let's just look at the first 450 years in these three sentences, in these three verses. Chose our fathers, he made them prosper during their stay in Egypt, and with mighty power he led them out of that country. Literally with flexed muscles, he led them out of that country. By the way, Egypt at that time was the most powerful an enlightened nation on the face of the earth. And God led them out. God blessed them when they were there. God chose them. And then verse 18, he endured their conduct. He put up with their conduct. We talked about that on Sunday. Kind of interesting to me that those scriptures I read to you from Deuteronomy 8 and 9, where God is giving them the speech right before they go, something they've been waiting for 40 years, right before they go in to take over the land, God just gives them the whole speech and says, look, you're going to get so comfortable, you're going to forget all about me. I've gone to all this effort to bless you and give you a land like nobody really, like you've never seen before. It's all yours. The people that are in there now aren't going to like you coming in, but they're my enemies, so I'll drive them out. And here it says that seven nations he drove out. God drove out. By the way, since there's a lot of revisionist history going on right now in, you know, our current administration and the current news media, you know, there's this picture of the big, nasty Israelis coming in and kicking out all of these poor little Palestinians and coming in and taking over their country. That just doesn't fit history. First of all, there's no such thing as a Palestinian. God took over that land. The Israelites were hopelessly outnumbered. The people that lived there had technology that the Israelites did not have. History tells us God kicked them out. God gave the land to Israel. You're not going to hear that on the news, but it's history. It wasn't the big, bad Israelis came in just kicked out these defenseless people. It was exactly the opposite of that. In fact, Israel never would have been able to occupy that country had God not driven out those seven nations. In fact, it's quite a thrilling story if you realize, if you read it, it defies all of the books on warfare. I mean, God did stuff with trumpets that you couldn't do with bazookas. I mean, he just did it himself. And as they're going in, he says, you're going to forget that I did it. You're going to think you did it. And when you think you did it, you're in big trouble because you won't need me anymore. And you don't even realize I'm the one that's protected you all this time. And your enemies are going to wipe you out. We talked about that on Sunday. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and chapter 9. God chose them, God got them out of Egypt. God intervened. God provided for them all the way across the wilderness for 40 years. He put up with them. The Amplified Bible says, like a fatherly nurse, he cared for them and put up with them. If you have children, you know that some species eat their young, and I've heard some parents say, it is tempting. Sometimes, you know, you do love this child. There's this biological urge to care for them, but they just push your buttons. And there's times when you don't feel like nurturing them. But you put up with them, and you care for them, and God did that. Next time you are worried about God giving up on you, he didn't give up on several million people who whined and bellyached and accused him to his face for 40 solid years. And all he was trying to do was bless them. All he was trying to do was give them the most fabulous place they've ever lived. That 40-year journey across the wilderness was the path to the biggest blessing. They dragged their feet. They bellyached. They wanted to go back. They fought him every step of the way. Is God persistent? Okay, why did I say all of that? Well, number one, it's really good to remember. But last night, while I was teaching this, the Lord reminded me of Deuteronomy chapter 32. And you don't have to turn there. You can check me out later. It's called the Song of Moses. In part of the same dialogue where God is saying, okay, I have no delusions about these people. I know they're all kissy face with me now because I brought them here, but once they go into the land, once they don't need me anymore, once they can grow their own crops, once they're successful, they're going to forget all about me. And when they forget all about me, they're just in big trouble. They're going to be on their own. Remember on Sunday we said that's the message the United States of America needs to hear. We're trying to pretend that God didn't get us here and that we can take care of ourselves, thank you. And that was the mistake that Israel was about to make. And here's the thing that I just love. God looks at these rebellious people. He looks at people that he knows they're going to make all the wrong choices. He knows they're going to suffer as a result. And so he does the most bizarre thing. He teaches Moses a song. And he says, okay, Moses, I want to teach you this song. I want you to teach it to the people, and I want the people to teach it to their children, and I want their children to teach it to their children, because here's what's going to happen. They're going to forget me. They're going to wind up worshiping other gods. Their enemies are going to come in. They're going to find out they're not as tough as they thought. They're going to call on their other gods, but their other gods aren't real, so they aren't going to be able to rescue. They're going to get ripped off. Their crops are going to get stolen, and they're going to realize they should never have abandoned me. He said, so teach them this song, because when they come to that point that they realize they can't do it without me, I want them to remember that I'll take them back. I have wounded, and I will heal, is the very last lyric of part one, not the last lyric, but towards the end of that song. The whole song is about God's faithfulness. I got you here. I took care of you. I'm the only real God. There aren't any other gods, no matter what you have been thinking. Don't you just love the way that he is? This, by the way, is the God that the point in Paul's message, which we'll get to next week, the point in Paul's message is this is the God who kept his promise and sent Jesus, even though half of the people he sent Jesus to completely missed it. God is faithful. God keeps his promises. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Does that look like the most bogus lie in the world sometimes? But it's the absolute truth. It's the absolute truth from a God who doesn't lie. So think of the Song of Moses. When things don't look like they're going the way, they just look like they're getting so out of control. Even God can't bring it back. God says, oh, I know. I know where it's going to go. Don't worry. When they get there, I'll be there. I'll still be the same God I am. In fact, teach them a song, because they're going to need to remember what I'm like when they're out there and they're so far away. I find that so touching. So I pass that on to you, even though it's really not part of Paul's message. Paul's message is all about the faithfulness of God despite the faithfulness of people. We were going to sing tonight, and I totally forgot that hymn from 1 Timothy that says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. When all else fails, you alone remain faithful. That's the message of the Bible. Let's pray. I would not be here myself, Lord, I know, if you were not the faithful one. So, Lord, we rest our hearts in that. We rest our hearts that you are the one who keeps promises. Even when promises look to all human understanding and human eyes as being ridiculous and impossible to keep, you are the God who calls things that are not as though they were, because you know that you are going to create things that don't yet exist. What a wonderful thing to rest our hearts in the promises that you make. We can look at Israel. We can look at promises that are right in front of our eyes daily fulfilled. We can look at Jesus, the result of promises to unfaithful, sinful people such as ourselves, all because you had the kind of heart that was determined to do the best for the people that you love. I need to hang on to that, Lord. I need to hang on to what your heart is like, because all my hopes are resting on that, not just on your power. There's no God like you. Nobody could stand against you and oppose you and succeed. But what a comfort, Lord, to trust your heart and to know that your persistent love is going to win. Several million people in your face for 40 solid years didn't stop you from taking good care of them and still leading them to the promised land and still making them a promise that when they were ready to come back, you'd take them back. You just blow my mind. Thank you for sending little to talk to the enlightened one. Thank you for knocking Saul of Tarsus off of his horse. Thank you for being willing to confront bullheaded people, soften their hearts, and give them a heart like yours. Lord, we don't want to be like Israel that insists and whine for our own way only to find out it's not what we really want. Lord, let us just surrender to you and trust you that you're going to give us the best as you see it. Let us rest our hearts in that. Bless these dear ones, Lord, when they are being lied to. I pray that you just speak the truth to them. You alone have the words of life. Where else are we going to go? We lift our loved ones to you, Lord, the ones especially that just need to hear the truth. Penetrate through the fog, Lord. Penetrate through their willfulness. Penetrate through their confusion or their fear or the distractions, and speak the truth to their hearts. That's our prayer. You saved us, Lord. You rescued us. Proves that you are still in the rescuing business. So we rest our hearts in that as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your patience.